We're happy to welcome to the program an artist, singer, songwriter, filmmaker, occupational therapist. Let's listen to a little bit of her brand new single, Distance.
Hey, Isabel.
Hey, it's so great to hear your voice. It's been so long.
I want to get a little touch from you, kiss from you, embrace from you. I want to get so close to you, but I'm gonna keep my distance. I want to dance.
That is Isabel Frischberg and the Uncommons, and we are so happy to be joined this afternoon on the telephone line by Isabel. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Hi.
I love that song so much, and my goodness, it says it all when it comes to what we've been going through these last couple of years and where we'd like to get.
I know, and we're still kind of in it.
Well, yeah, we're three of us sitting here in a studio with masks on in various stages. So, yeah, we're certainly not through it yet, but I love the fact that the song focuses on those simple gestures that it seems like so long ago we all took for granted.
Absolutely, and that's one of the inspirations for the song, that you can't just hug a friend or, you know, kiss them on the cheek or, you know, grab them the way we used to. You may just elbow or, you know, it's so strange. Or you do the side hug, you know?
And the song is so great. Look, anytime you can get a little tango going, I'm going to sign up for that.
Does it make you move?
It does, absolutely.
Oh, good.
And then what makes it even better is the tremendous video. It is so beautiful, and it's your artwork that's featured in it. Can you talk about the making of that video a little bit?
Yes, thanks for asking. Well, firstly, I want to say that I worked with this really good animator who's also a singer-songwriter. Her name is Romley Temper, and her partner, Saul Letterman. They were able to animate my artwork. Like, I do all kinds of paintings and watercolors, and I gave it to them, and they just made everything move in such a way that went with the music. And the making of the song, too, is quite fun and exciting. Steve Briggs, who plays that beautiful kind of rumba, tango beat that you hear throughout the song, and then you have the lovely trumpet, and that's Rebecca Hennessy who plays that, and then the harmonies, which is Rebecca Campbell. And of course, it was recorded and mixed and mastered by Mitch Girio. We weren't all in the same room. We gave him our tracks. And drummer Gary Craig, who's amazing, who's on it. Like, just a superb, superb group. And Mitch just wove it together and made it sound like we were in one room.
Well, it sounds terrific, to say the least there. And so it sounds like, and not everybody has had this experience, you found opportunities to be productive and creative during the pandemic.
Well, that's what kept me sane. having something that I could be playful with and have fun with and look forward to and share. And I think those are the things that actually help us deal with what we're dealing with when you have that.
I was also listening to another wonderful song of yours, Each Day a Little Less. Was that also written and recorded during the pandemic?
Each Day a Little Less was just before. It was just before the pandemic, but the one that I did after is End of an Era was during the pandemic, and the video was made. We all did our selfies, our video selfies of ourselves.
Your artwork, too. I was looking at some of that on your website, and it's just, it's terrific. It's so simple and yet so powerful.
Oh, thank you for seeing that. Well, I love painting. I sell my work. There's something about it that's so meditative.
We're talking
you
with
know?
talking with Isabel Frischberg here on Downtown, and you have so many talents, you do so many things. Can you talk a little bit? I'm fascinated by...
It keeps me out of trouble. I'll let you know.
I know that feeling. Can you talk a little bit about the Social Mystics Project?
Oh, I'd love to. Well, the Social Mystics was a band that was created from a program that I founded a little over 20 years ago called the Creative Work Studio. It's a program that grew out of a hospital. I'm also an occupational therapist, and I developed a niche called arts-based occupational therapy, and I saw a need for people living with long-term and serious mental health and addiction issues to have a place, to have a community, and a way of connecting with themselves creatively and to express themselves in a positive way. And so I was fortunate to partner with various groups, get grants, and we developed this beautiful space outside of the hospital within the downtown core. I partnered with a nonprofit, the Good Shepherd, and we were able to transform this dilapidated karaoke bar into a 3,500 square foot space that's used and still used today for creating and healing and community. And within that program, once a week, I'd get together, in addition to the painting and sculpting and all the things that, you know, went on, we had a songwriting group. And like after a couple of years, people thought, hey, you know, our songs are pretty good. Maybe we should do an album. And when they said that, I knew they were ready. And I had just made my first album with the wonderful producer, Don Kerr. And that album is called Hearts and Arrows. And I thought, you know what? I'll see if I could get a grant and we could make an album. He'll produce it and record it. And I could invite some of my musician friends to help out. And because the members of this program helped write the music, but I thought we could, you know, just mix it with professionals and non-professionals and create this delicious soup. And it was so powerful, the whole process of recording this album. There was one woman who had trouble just getting out of the house. She just got out of hospital. She was very vulnerable. But another member helped her get on the subway, and she came to the recording. Like, we recorded like 5 days straight from 9 to 5 at Dawn's studio basement. And I said to her, what helped you get up and go? And she said, the songs, they meant the world to me. And then we had this fabulous performance at a wonderful venue in Toronto called the Transact Club. While other music venues, unfortunately, are closing up because rents are so high, this is a place, it's like a haven for music and really supports the artists. And actually, they don't have to worry about rent because they bought this space. And so there's all kinds of great music going on at the Transact, and we had our CD release there. And people who were so nervous to perform, you know, they shined.
And that had to be so empowering, I mean, for anybody, but for people dealing with mental health issues to be able to find and utilize that creative outlet.
Absolutely. And it reduces the stigma. I think when you are able to basically come out and be vulnerable and be strong, you know, I think that's so important because it's kind of circular. You touch others and they touch, you know, that kind of connection comes back, and they felt strong from it.
Let's talk about your background a little bit, Isabel. You're the daughter of Holocaust survivors. How did that inform your view of the world?
That's a powerful question. It marks you. It marks you because when you grow up, you don't know. You know, you don't know that it's any different. You just know that your parents are very protective of you. You know that, you know, they say that some survivors don't talk about it. My father would talk about his experience in a very monotone voice. And he, you know, he was totally obsessed with politics because that was his life during the war. He had to be informed. It's how you see the world. You when your parents were able to survive such difficulties, you know, your own birth is a miracle. And so it makes you feel for other groups, for people right now in the Ukraine who are homeless and vulnerable. It makes you aware of how vulnerable we could be at any time, because I grew up knowing that.
Now, I understand, too, that protectiveness of you extended to your career. They wanted to make sure you had something that was stable.
Oh, man, all the time. The best compliment my dad ever said about one of my paintings as he looked at it, and one that he really liked, he says, "Well, but this one you could sell."
Now, I understand in terms of music that your influences largely came from the music your sister was listening to.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a sister who's 11 years older, and she listened to Phil Oakes, Bobby Gentry, Burt Bacharach, Henry Mancini, The Beatles, Simon and Garfunkel. You know, she had those albums around, and that informed me for sure. You know, that definitely marked my ears.
You didn't start performing until you were in your 30s, though.
Yeah, even a little later. I started, actually, my early 30s, I picked up the fiddle. Why the fiddle? well, I love the fiddle, but it's not an easy instrument, but it's an instrument that connects you with people. When you play the fiddle, you jam with others, people dance, and there's festivals where you jam, and there's opportunities to jam with people. And so that was my first instrument, and I chose it because, being a visual artist, you're on your own a lot, so I wanted to be social. And little did I know, after a while, that when you do pick up an instrument, you have to practice, and that's not social, right? And then shortly later, you know, I started writing songs before even having a guitar. And my boyfriend at the time was a luthier, and he saw my sister's Gibson. And he said, "Isabel, I think you should play that Gibson." And I said, "I don't know how to play." He said, "You will." And so he mentioned to my sister that a Taylor would be easier for her to play, and 'cause she was not kind of feeling the Gibson so much. And so he fixed it up. And about a year or two later, I had a heartbreak. We broke up, and then more songs came. And then I did learn how to play that guitar.
Now Bruce Pratt is a singer and songwriter and guitarist. He's in studio with us today. Bruce, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have the Gibson. I have a couple of Gibsons. What model and what year was it? Do you know?
That Gibson gets more attention than me.
if it's got a Banner Gibson headstock, I'm not surprised.
I think it's an LG. I think it's a Sunburst. I say it's about mid-60s.
Yep, that's
late 60s.
That's a good guitar. Those good Kalamazoo made guitars.
You know what? It sounds even better. The more and more, I love the Gibson. I did have a Martin Envy. I'll tell you, I really like, when I was in Nashville a couple years ago, I saw a beautiful parlor Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Going for, what was it,
$25,000 probably.
Yeah, and they said it was 1940. It was a 1944.
I have
dark brown.
Lots of Martins and lots of Gibsons, but I have a 53 Gibson that is J45. Is probably the one thing you could not get me to part with of all my instruments, including ones I toured for years with that I have know all the stories that they shouldn't know. But yeah, my old Gibson would be tough to get that out of my hands.
Wow. Well, I love my Gibson. I don't have Martin Indy anymore because I'm really connected. It's gone through so many different heartbreaks and songs, and so it's special.
So, Isabel, all the things you do, whether it's being an occupational therapist, a documentary filmmaker, an artist, how does that impact your songwriting?
You ask good questions, Fitch.
Thank you.
Well, it all influences my songwriting. I think having painting and music, they're different, but they're one of the same beasts. And when I'm writing songs, I feel it's like painting a picture. You know, you're painting a story. And then when I'm painting, and I read this about Paul Klee and Matisse as well, is that you put in the rhythm and the movement in the things that you create.
Well, the new song is wonderful. Distance is available. You can find it on YouTube and see that remarkable video, the wonderful animation, and Isabel's terrific artwork as well. You can visit her website at isabelfrischberg.com. I've had so much fun the last few days exploring your music and learning more about you, and it's great to have the chance to talk with you today.
Oh, thank you. And it's on Spotify, too, under Isabel Myung Commons and Apple Music as well.
Well, Isabel, we thank you for making time for us this afternoon.
Oh, thank you, Rich.
Wish you continued success. Hope you come back and visit with us again down the road.
I would love to. All right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Isabel Frischberg here on Downtown.